The nonpartisan Congressional Budget Office released its latest report on the state of the federal budget. The findings may not have been surprising, but they still raise some concerns. According to the CBO, the U.S. government will have its largest annual budget shortfall ever at more than $3.3 trillion when the fiscal year ends on September 30th. The shortfall was expected in large part because of government spending in response to the COVID-19 pandemic. The CBO also outlined shortfalls in funding for various government programs, one of the most significant being Social Security. The CBO says the Social Security Trust Fund would be depleted by about 2031 without congressional intervention. That would lead to cuts in benefits. Thomas Kemp is a professor and the Economics Department Chair at UW-Eau Claire. Thomas, welcome back to Central Time.
Happy to be here.
Well, what's your reaction to this latest report on the deficit? Again, not surprising, but some pretty big numbers here.
Yeah, absolutely. They are some pretty big numbers, and they sure can look a little bit scary, you know, at first glance, but really not that surprising given the really slowdown in the economy resulting from the coronavirus, and then also the increase in government obligations as it has to pay out more for folks on various means tested programs.
And let's talk a little bit about pre-COVID. We already saw annual deficits creeping up some because of some changes to tax laws and things like that. Increases in deficits you don't usually expect to see when the economy is doing well. What did you make of that before this pandemic started?
Yeah, well, so there was some pretty unconventional policy coming out of the government. You know, prior to COVID, we were seeing actually increases in federal spending accompanied by decreases in taxes, which is sort of the opposite of approach of what you normally see. Normally taxes are increased during prosperous times and spending comes down. And the result of that, prior to COVID, was a pretty red hot economy because, of course, the federal government was injecting a lot of expenditure into it.
Now we have this big downturn, this sudden downturn, unusually sudden because of the pandemic. Some economists have looked at, you know, the trillions of dollars the U.S. government have spent so far and said, yeah, that's still not enough. Where do you fall on the spectrum of how much has been spent by the federal government versus how much the economy needs?
Well, how much has been spent is a matter of fact. So it is what it is. You know, if you think of the size of the U.S. economy, however, though, it's over $20 trillion annually. So for the federal government to just continue spending what would have been spent by the private sector, it would have to spend far, far more than it is currently spending. The size of federal spending simply isn't large enough to keep up with the rest of the economy, which is why even though we have these, you know, record-breaking deficits, the economy is still very, very sluggish by comparison to pre-COVID.
I want to turn to the overall debt in a minute. And can you give us a little economics 101? Because I will admit in the past in my life, I used deficit and debt interchangeably. They're different things. Separate them out for us, please.
Yeah, sure. Well, you know, usually when I go in and people find out I'm an economics professor, that's They either give me a wink and say that was my favorite class, or say they didn't learn anything. So that's a-okay. So the debt. Well, let's start with deficit. The deficit is the difference between what the federal government is projected to take in a given year and what it's projected to spend in a given year. So you can kind of think of this as like your income in a given year versus what you're going to spend. If you're going to spend more than you're going to earn, then you have a deficit for that year. Now, the debt, when we talk about the debt, the federal debt, that is the accumulated past deficits. So it's all the deficits that have occurred in the past summed up. You can think of that as like your personal debt. You may have a mortgage on your house. It's an obligation you owe onto others. It didn't occur all in one year. It's going to occur over many years. That is debt.
We're talking to Thomas Kemp, professor and economics chair at UW-Eau Claire, looking at a new report on the U.S. deficit, the overall debt, and how it could affect spending. Now, with that debt, the overall amount the United States owes, in effect, Thomas, people compare that to the overall size of the economy, the GDP. They look at that ratio, the debt to GDP. And now people are saying, this report's saying, in not too long, in just the next year or two, we're going to hit a point where that ratio is basically 1-to-1. The debt is about equal to the size of our overall economy. We haven't been there since World War II, when we had some pretty good reasons to spend a lot of money. Is that a meaningful ratio? Is that something that should freak us out at all?
It has meaning. It's something we should consider. I mean, if you think of using the analogy that I mentioned a few minutes ago, now if you have a household income of $60,000, and then you also have $60,000 in total debt, that gives you a bit of a snapshot of your financial picture. It of course depends what the debt is on, and it depends what your future income is going to be. And so it is to some degree. I don't want to overemphasize that analogy, but to some degree, it's appropriate for the United States. So I wouldn't see it as a worrying ratio. In other words, given everything that's going on, it's not even in the top 20 things that I'm going to worry about this week. We shouldn't focus too much on it. We should focus more on the question of what we're spending on. And just as you would too, if you're going to borrow a bunch of money to throw a big party for your friends, that might not be money well spent. But if you borrowed the same amount of money to say, get a good education or invest in a growing business, that might be money well borrowed and well spent. It's not so much the amount that matters. It's what you're doing with it.
Well, there's the notion, I think, out there that, okay, if we owe this amount of money, someday we're going to have to pay for it, or it's, the debts will get called in or something. It'll lead to a catastrophic outcome. Or as politicians often say it, our children and grandchildren are going to be bearing this burden. Is there any truth to that?
Well, of course, there's some truth to it, but that's another analogy I certainly wouldn't push very far. The idea that there's a fixed quantity of money or something like that in society is a pretty serious misunderstanding of how the financial system works. So that's this idea that somebody's got to find the money somewhere. And similarly, the idea that people would cash that debt all in at once, there's very, very good reasons why that would not happen. For the most obvious would be that it's not in anybody's interest to do that. So, for example, if I were holding a bunch of federal government debt, if I were to cash that in, it would drive the market value of that debt down, which would obviously not be in my interest to do. So that's exceedingly unlikely eventuality. And then furthermore, if I did that, it wouldn't necessarily collapse the U.S. economy, and it wouldn't collapse the United States federal government. So not really something to worry about too much.
We continue our conversation about the federal deficit and potential long-term impacts that COVID-19 could have on our economy. Thomas Kemp is with us, professor of economics at UW-Eau Claire. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Do you worry about the size of the annual deficit here in the United States, about our overall debt? Or do you think we should be focusing more on spending to help recovery from the economic downturn? Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. I want to turn to another part of this latest information from the Congressional Budget Office, Thomas, about Social Security, saying that the Social Security Trust Fund could end up going away early in the next decade. And to be clear, that doesn't mean Social Security benefits go away instantly. That's just sort of the backstop account. What are your thoughts on that news?
Yeah, well, it's disturbing, and you could understand why it would get people worried and upset. Lots of folks count on their Social Security benefits, and it's not an issue that we should take lightly. Of course, the proposed changes and changes to the payroll tax, which is one of the main funding sources for Social Security, is in question at the moment. And how that is impacted will, of course, impact the eventual solvency of the Social Security Trust Fund. That said, it should be noted that if that fund were to be insolvent, that continued Social Security payments could be funded out of the general fund. So just because the account, the trust fund, could potentially be insolvent, that does not mean that there is no avenue through which to continue making, for the federal government to continue making payments to recipients.
I've heard the argument that Congress could and should do something now and sooner, and the sooner that things get resolved, the less traumatic things will have to be to fix Social Security down the road. What are some of the options, Thomas, that could be considered this year or next year to push back that date?
Well, there's a number of things that have been kicked around over the years. You know, maintaining the payroll tax, of course, would do a fair bit to maintaining the trust fund solvency for a period of time. At several occasions over the last multiple decades, there's been talk of removing the cap on Social Security, on the payroll tax. Right now, payrolls are capped. You don't pay Social Security tax beyond a certain amount. If you simply remove that cap and you paid the same Social Security tax rate on all income, that would move the solvency off into the near indefinite future, certainly all of the listeners' lifetime and our own as well. So the options are, that might sound like not a big deal, and I would agree. So the problem is not some radically complicated problem.
Not radically economically complicated, but it seems politically complicated. I know you focus on economics, but is that really the stumbling block that people are reluctant to tinker with Social Security too much?
Yeah, well, absolutely. I mean, you know, we're moving out of my wheelhouse when we start talking politics here. I would say most of our economic problems are actually political problems and not really economic problems. But this is certainly not an economic problem and primarily a political problem, yes.
So what are you watching for next when it comes to the state of the American economy? We had this big drop when COVID-19 first started, had some recovery, but not full recovery yet. What are you watching for now?
Yeah, so the thing I'm watching is I'm looking for policy that works to maintain people's skills during this downturn. So a lot of us are, some of us are working too much, and a lot of us aren't working at all. And for those of us who aren't working at all, we want to make sure that those people's skills don't lapse as we move through this, so that when the economy recovers, and it will eventually recover, this COVID thing will end, that those folks are at that time quickly employable and employable in a way that's profitable for businesses. So we want to make sure that everybody's skill set maintains up to date through this. And that's what I'm keeping an eye on is policies that try to do that.
Let's bring on a caller now. John is with us in Madison. John, hi.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. I wanted to say that I absolutely think that we should be spending more to get ourselves out of the rut. You know, don't think we're quite there yet. But I also think that we need to be doing that spending in a very intelligent way. Like, if we're going to be subsidizing companies, great, but let's make sure it's the companies that actually need it rather than, say, Amazon, Walmart. You know, the larger companies can fend for themselves, but the small mom-and-pop shops, they absolutely need more assistance.
John, thanks a lot for the call. What do you think, Thomas, what John had to say, target that spending to smaller businesses that might be in basically sink or swim situations right now?
Yeah, absolutely. I concur. You know, anything we can do to keep businesses up and running, anything we can do to keep employees' skills up to date, that's a solid investment compared to other possibilities. So yes, I would agree.
Now, early on with the big package in particular, the $3 trillion package, I think there was some agreement in Congress that, yeah, we might be able to do this better. We might be able to fine tune it, but that would take time. Faster was better at that point. Do you see kind of a more thoughtful consideration of future spending now, or do you see like a better targeted approach coming down the pike?
I see a lot of good ideas, and I see a lot, hear a lot of talk. I haven't seen a lot of action, and so it's difficult for me to know what to think. I have to believe that a lot of folks, myself included, are pretty frustrated by the relative inaction for quite some time out of the federal government. And I would really like to see some more progress towards some of these things we've been talking about. I mean, there's a lot of folks out there right now who are having a hard time with things, businesses that are, you know, just trying to hold the doors open for another few weeks, you know, workers are out of work. I would really like to see some more consideration given to those folks. And
briefly, as we wrap up, Thomas, are we going to be feeling the impacts of this economic hit for a long time?
Well, it's always hazardous to predict the future. But I think it's far more likely than not that the effects of the COVID event are going to be with us for some time. It's going to be, I think, a few years at least before we're back to economic normal. Hopefully we're all back to health normal well before then. But I think we're going to be in this for a little while.
Thomas, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you. Pleasure.
Thomas Kemp is a professor and department chair of the economics department at UW-Eau Claire. He joined us today to talk about the latest report from the Congressional Budget Office that found that the federal debt will outpace gross domestic product maybe as soon as next year. Also news that the Social Security Trust Fund could run out of money in roughly a decade.